What's up, Lagos? Yes, ten minutes past ten. It's a Thursday.
It is a Thursday, right? Thursday.
The ninth day of the month of March.
I thought I'd throw you back to Jasmine. What are you talking about?
You know now. All right. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, and we thought that elections will be on Saturday. But
when I was in school, I didn't know how to pronounce postponed. So people used to call it postponed.
Postponed.
Postponed. It has been moved ahead to the 18th. All right. So we're not going to be having the governorship and the state houses of assembly on Saturday anymore. It's going to be next Saturday, and I think it's for the best.
Yeah.
So let the legal system, let the courts, let the courts do what they need to do. Welcome to the show anyway. And we're going to be, my name is Stretch and I'm with a very beautiful
And my name is Feta.
I wanted to give you some.
Feta, that's my name. Okay. Let it sink, okay? Now right. You can continue with other introductions. Okay. That has nothing to do with my name.
Okay.
Good.
I'm with a very beautiful woman. And she mentioned her name already.
Good.
So I will not call her cross-fertilization by any means. So we're moving on the show this morning. How do we start the show? We're starting with the portion of the show we call Sound Off, where we talk about things you would ideally want to speak about, but maybe you won't be able to say it right here. And so we'll grab it for you. We'll do it for you. And we'll let you go. And after that, we will muse. And after we meet, remember today is Thursday, our lawyer girl, she's going to be stepping into the studio again. We're talking about Olamide Onifade. She'll be stepping in grand style, and we'll be with her for the second hour. You don't want to miss any bit of the show, right? So for all those that have been listening to the show, you guys made a promise. I said the birthday gift I want is for you to go and cast your vote on Saturday. So you guys have to move it ahead to next Saturday, all right? We will make sure this system is complete, whatever it is we're doing this part. If you didn't notice anything about this election, some things have shifted. We're not where we used to be.
Sure.
Yeah, but we're not yet where we want to be. But we have moved. Be honest with yourself. It has moved something. So let's complete the system. Maybe next time during the elections, you have the president might come to your house. He might go to your entire sport. President, too, I'm not talking about. The state government might wash your clothes.
You never can tell.
Member of the house might be so, okay, let me drive your children to school. You know, maybe. But next 4 years, you have a local government chairman saying, come on, you're going to buy a good, I'll buy it for you. You know? So maybe they'll get
I have a dream.
Yes. Not a nightmare. It's looking like it's going to happen. So let's keep at this, and it's going to get better for everybody. So let's take a short breather and come back with
Sound Off.
Life can be fun,
but life in itself can be hard.
Every single day, we wake up to all kinds of stories.
Some good.
And in sports, Nigeria's Toby Amuso has set a new 100-meter hurdles world record.
Some bad.
And some outrageous.
A 29-year-old woman, Oluchi Badruba, has been arraigned before an Ogba magistrate court for allegedly beating up her brother's wife.
This is Sound Off,
where we bring these issues to the fore.
You can hear this Mondays to Fridays, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
on What's Up Lagos 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Keep a date.
All right. This is Sound Off. 14 minutes past the hour, and I like the way Feta looks at me when we get to this stage. She goes like my mother would do.
What are you going to say?
We never cross the line here. But today, please, I'm asking, where is all the money in Nigeria? I have not seen a Naira note in 2 weeks. And the Supreme Court made a ruling on Monday, I think. And till this moment, people are confused. People, banks, I think everybody's confused right now. People, we have reports that people go to banks. I mean, they give them the old notes, but sometimes they go to deposit and the banks don't collect. What is the situation at the moment? We can't find money to spend.
The gist we had was the everything that happened about the money was for them to forestall vote buying, to stop the money bags from doing stuff. And we had an election on the 25th of February, and we saw what happened. We've done one election. Please give us money to spend. We have very, very heartbreaking pictures of people being kobokoed at, I mean, banks. I mean, to crowd control. Security men at bank wiping people. They move back. They are there to collect their own money. So we're asking, who is actually in charge? What is actually going on? When will this end? Now, the election has been moved to the 18th of March. Are you telling us? I mean, we're thinking that after Saturday, then things will start happening. We're just postponing and thinking, when will this happen? Who is in charge? What is the? What do we is it that the president should come out and say, I'm obeying the Supreme Court ruling right now? It is a slap on some people's faces. Should be. When the Supreme Court says something, and we're waiting for, I don't know what we're waiting for again. Use the old notes we have. Have you burned them all? What do Nigerians do? How do we sell and buy? Someone said they give a cab driver rice, raw rice for transportation. We're now doing trade by barter in 2023.
It's not even funny.
It is not funny. No, but really, bad things like will make you laugh. So who is actually in charge? What is going on? What is happening? So the Lagos State governor, I mean, now that, I mean, like, hey, he's, I don't know, he's bringing out a hand of fellowship right now. Bro, I thought you launched the POS, Lagos State government POS people. Give them money to give to us. There's no money to spend. People that, I mean, buses, you go to buy stuff in the market, you go to supermarkets, they've taken the opportunity. Prices have been hiked. The fuel queues, I'm not talking about that. They're back now. They're getting longer. But the money, we need money to spend. Can someone let this... Mr. President, will you please address us and tell us that this time around, we're obeying the Supreme Court ruling. Let money come out and let Nigerians spend. The hardship is excessive. I spoke to someone yesterday. She said she had to walk to third of her journey because she has money to pay for only one bus ride. It is sad. It is very sad. And it is quite alarming that nobody is doing anything about it. In other clients, when the Supreme Court says something, the next day, action. But right now, I don't know what
everybody
we're waiting
is for. Just basically in doubt. Yes. Nobody knows who to follow. Who should we believe? So I'll just say that normally, as humans, we are encouraged to always see the positive side of everything. I'm looking for the positive side of this thing. I've been looking for it since last month. I've not seen it. Although, yeah, advantages, because I feel like at some level, some people are beginning to adjust to the mode of transfers. But do you see how? Has anybody actually thought, I'm talking about the people who are ruling us, have they thought about the way it disadvantages buyers? I mean, small-scale sellers.
Yes.
People who sell Agbaluman orange. Yes. Corn is out. I've not been able to buy corn because I
Mango
can't transfer.
Mango is out.
I can't transfer 100 naira to a corn
Mango.
Seller. It's not even funny anymore.
Yes.
Like, I mean, right now, it is obvious that people who need cash need it for basic things as transportation. People who still take the bus like
it's
me.
Sad.
We need money for transportation to buy little things on the street, but you can't. Now I look at the thing I can actually afford, like bottle water. I'm like, I can't buy it because I need money for transportation.
Exactly.
So I can't buy it. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if people are adjusting to transfers, make the little cash that's available so we can withdraw 5K. 10K, like that.
Someone queued,
so we can use it
three,
for basic things.
3 hours in a bank. 3 hours, not even a bank. She queued in front of a POS operator. 3 hours and got 2,000 naira.
Stretch, I feel like we've moved. We are now content with the fact that we can't get 100K, 50K from the ATM anymore. But if we want 5K, 10K, can we just
should be able to get that.
Can we just get it?
Can someone govern us? Can someone do something for Nigerians? Can someone do this? If this is happening when you still need our votes. Yes, I'm saying you. This is happening when you need our votes. You need us. This is the time we're most important.
Let me use the word.
Yeah.
This is a campaign.
Yeah, this is the campaign. And you want us to go vote? How do we get to the where we're going to vote? How do we eat before we move? So someone should do something else. Is looking really bad and embarrassing.
Too embarrassing.
And that's Sound Off. All right, checker time is 11:24, and in a bit we'll be going on a break. But hey, let's just let you know what we're going to be musing about today. Well, in the city of Lagos, if you live here, or maybe anywhere you are, but we're focusing on Lagos, have you lived with someone that the day you discovered where they were from, you were like, really? I was with this guy, Abona. Abona speaks Yoruba more than Ogunde, but Abona is from Borno State, from Chibok. Yeah? So think about it. Have you encountered anybody in Lagos that you didn't even know from looks, from
how they talk?
Then the day you discovered, you were like, what? This is just to celebrate our diversity when we come back. Yeah? So think about it. Have you had that experience? Is all the experience you? Do people shout and put their hands on their heads when they know where you're from, really? Yeah? So we're going to be talking about that today in the same spirit of leading us away from the tribal card that we don't need at all.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So think about it. You can send us messages. We'll tell you how if you don't know how when we come back. It's going to be a short break. 0700-993-993-993. Or you can call if you're a female, 01465-7190. Or you can send us a WhatsApp message. All right? Think about it. Has the origin of someone ever shocked you?
Mm-hmm.
When you discovered, like, this guy, are you kidding me? All right.
Now, all I can think is me. But when we come back from the break, I'll tell you why.
All right, we'll be back.
Take you to Lagos. I'll take you to Lagos. To Lagos.
It's What's Up Lagos, 1037, What's Up Lagos,
yes.
See, SA shouting, you have not earned your salary today. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm watching you. All right, we asked you to let us know, yeah? Have you noticed anyone that the moment you discovered where they actually were from, you were like, could that be true?
Could that be true?
Did I? Are you for real? I told you about Abona. Abona is from Chibok in Borno State. But this guy, oh my God. So let's get to it. The phone line 0700-993-993-993. Or you can call us if you're female, 01465-7190. And we got messages on WhatsApp.
Yeah. Yeah, but Esther Ree from Badagry says, what's up, Lagos? I didn't know until she passed that the late Iya Jogbo of Waiting Day was from Bayelsa. I thought she was Yoruba.
Okay, that's true.
Story of my life. Every dang day. I have a billion stories to tell. One time, work joined me on one Hausa film actor like that. When I showed up and he heard people around saying my name, the guy almost swore they were messing with him, asking me how come my name is Steve and I speak Hausa so well. Nigerians claim all manner of educated, but sadly, they are dullest when it comes to Nigeria and fellow countrymen and women. It pay me while I Steve from Kano.
Steve, thank you.
Jeffrey says, I dated a girl for over a year. When she discovered I was an Igbo boy, she almost ran mad with shock because she had vowed never to date an Igbo guy.
Wow.
Lo and behold, 8 years down the line, we are very happily married with 3 children. In short, she's mad over me. Tomorrow is our wedding anniversary.
Oh.
I speak, read, and write Yoruba so easily, even more than her. Her parents don't joke with me at all. Hashtag stop the tribal hate.
Yes, love it. We love that. Mm-hmm. All right, 0700-993-993-993, or you call us on 01465-7190. Have you seen anyone and misjudged?
Mm.
Yeah?
Tribal shock.
All right.
Good morning, what's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Yes, sir.
You're still alive.
What's your name, sir?
This is the only Ezo.
Ezo Dogbolu. All right, Ezo Igadi.
I married my wife for Lagos. And all my children are born and from our Dogbolu kingdom here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hear my language, yo.
Hmm.
But when they speak Ijabu for you here, you go run away.
Wow.
Eh? So the thing can't shame me, Steph. The whole village now.
Whoa. Where's your Odogbolu?
Mm-hmm. My kingdom now, I don't they carry black hash, they wine now.
And you two start saying came share very soon.
Change don't come already. I'm going to change them now.
All right. Thank you, Eze. Thanks
but
for
it's a beautiful thing now. It's a very beautiful thing.
Ijebu.
Igbos speaking Ijebu. That's beautiful. Wow.
Yeah. So,
like, the diversity. Stretch. You're almost the same now.
No, I'm American.
Like, you speak every language. He's a linguist, though. He's a true Nigerian.
Whatever. All right, 10:41. Come on, we got 2 minutes. We can take a couple of calls before we go on another break. 0146571900 for the females. 0700-993-993-993 for everybody else.
Good morning, what's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Who is this guy that's happier than me today?
What's your name,
that's
sir?
Alive.
Just live.
Yes, sir. What's your name,
My name is Ibrahim Olariwaju. I'm calling from Suru. Your first time caller.
All right. Where have you been, Ibrahim? Woo! All right, Ibrahim. Go ahead. Share your story.
Yeah, actually, I'm a Yoruba boy. Okay. And I have one of my brother-in-law, that is my junior sister husband.
Okay.
So he's also a Yoruba boy.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he introduced me to a business, the Yaba.
Okay.
So the first day I followed him there, he was speaking Igbo fluently. Like, I was like, man, where are we going to? Yeah, I was questioning him. So he mostly people he's doing business with. They are always confused that he's a Yoruba boy.
Whoa.
Wow.
They're always confused that he's a Yoruba boy. I know you that you are speaking deep Igbo like this.
Are you serious?
No, you are from Igbo. You are Igbo man. You are just learning that you are Yoruba.
Did you ask him how he got to learn the language?
He's from the Yaba there. He learned the language.
Wow.
He's with Igbo boys. Yes.
Wow. Just like that.
All right. Thank you.
He sells Okrika. I'm also into Okrika business as well.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much, your colleague.
All right.
Good morning to
you.
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Yeah. All right, so go ahead, tell us.
Energy. Sunday on the line.
Sunday, oh yeah, go ahead, tell us.
Yeah. You see what happened to me?
Mm-mm.
I married in Lagos. All my children, if they speak Yoruba, they will just take us as parents, go and jump inside an ocean. They believe that we are not the one that owns them.
Wow.
And secondly, I like eating amala, ewedu and pekiri.
All right.
Which is not my own food. I'm telling you, so.
Thank you for calling.
It's possible to mix up like that.
Right.
Bye.
Thank you
so much. All right, so we got stories. People are sharing, and you'll be able to do yours maybe when we come back after this short break. It's still What's Up, Lagos?
All right, welcome back. It's What's Up Lagos right now. If you check, your time is 49 minutes past the hour of 10. And you're welcome to What's Up Lagos! Yes, sir. Of course, you know what we're talking about today. Tribal shock. Have you been in the position where somebody meets you and think that you are Yoruba when you're actually Hausa? And then when you tell them that your house is like, it's no way.
This can be.
It's impossible.
It's lie.
It's dispossible.
This cannot happen.
Anti-possible.
No, it's not possible.
Sub-possible.
No, it's not possible.
We want to hear from you, okay? You know the numbers to call 0700-993-993-993. If you're female, 0146571900. Let's go get it.
No, but really speaking, I've been with a group of people, and when we all started talking, there's this way you start speaking and everybody just assumes this is where we're
off. I feel like it's not even how you speak, it's how you look most times.
Are you sure? Is there a look?
Yes, there's a look. I'm telling you, that's my experience. What's up, Lagos? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What's up, Lagos?
Hey. What's up,
I'm
Lagos?
I'm connecting your blog group and your genotype.
No,
what's your name, please?
I'm Fatih.
You are Fatih?
I live from Auburn.
All right, okay. Fatih. Fatih, share your story.
Yeah, please. I'm from the north.
You are from the north? Yeah?
Yes, hello.
Yeah?
You laugh a lot, though, Fatih.
But my husband speaks Yoruba very, very well. In fact, he speaks Yoruba more than some Yorubas in my former area. Up to this moment, they never believed my husband was an Hausa.
Truly?
Yes. We are no longer living there. Even up to the moment we left, they never believed because he speaks Yoruba fluently.
Wow.
And surprisingly, I don't know.
It shows. That's why you're laughing. It shows. We know. Even your laughter is not even... You're not even laughing like in Yoruba. You're not laughing.
I understand, but I can't speak. I don't know how to speak.
That's what they all say. Your laughter is not even Yoruba. You're not laughing in Western laugh.
How do I say Western laugh?
Fatty, thank you for sharing. Then your husband speaks.
Yeah, like fluent Yoruba. I mean, it happens, but I think I will still stand on that position that most times it's not how you speak.
I don't think there's a look, Jerry.
I'm telling you. Good morning to you. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Hey, wake up. The energy is much.
Yes, sir.
It's not possible. It's recorded.
What's your name, sir?
Trust Alive.
My name is Mr. Maxwell Ibo. I'm calling from Mavruko Oshodi.
Okay. Can you tell us your name again?
Maxwell Ibo. Maxwell. I'm calling from Mavruko Oshodi.
So, right. Maxwell, so what's your story?
Maxwell, yeah, my story is starting from your point that talk about the old Naira notes.
Maxwell, over the.
Listen, talk about the...
No, we're not talking about that now. We're asking you about culture shock. Have you heard anybody that you think, I mean, from the conversation or the looks, you think the person is from one part, but when you get to find out, you go like, huh?
It's not possible.
That's what we're talking about.
Good morning to you. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos? What's up, Lagos?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Get one.
I just know.
My own story is maybe I don't know, but a lot of time when people come to my business place, they will start speaking Yoruba to me. So most times I will like, please, I don't understand at all. I don't understand. They will say, but somehow you look like Yoruba. I will begin to say, no, I don't even know how to. Though I have tried to blend to know how to learn the language. It's not been easy. Just maybe because I stayed in Ladipo in the midst of Igbo boys for a very long time before I eventually changed the location of business.
The moment you call it Ladipo, then there's no hope. There's no way. Ladipo. Ikeja.
Ladipo.
Ikeja.
December. You see what he said? Did you hear what he said about? It's how he looks. Like they think he's actually Yoruba because of the way he looks.
See, let me tell you.
Do you get?
No, I don't get, because you are saying that is the look doesn't qualify, doesn't make you.
He actually does.
Okay, so he looks okay now from someone's.
You can have a neutral accent and just look like a Yoruba person.
So what about him? He looks Yoruba.
That's what I'm saying.
And doesn't have any bone of Yoruba in him. He said, Ladepo. Oh, showed you up there.
Please turn down the volume of your radio station so we can have this conversation. Good morning.
Turn it off, please. Hello. Okay. Hello.
Good morning.
What's
good
morning. Up, Lagos?
It seems like you're on the move.
What's up, Lagos?
Yes. What's up?
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes. What's your name?
How are you doing? Trust Alive.
Lily.
Lily. smiling.
Lily Oya, where are you going to this hot morning?
Okay, I'm just driving around. I want to pick something from the shop for my boys.
All right, okay. be driving around.
This is my first time of calling.
Lily,
okay, I'll also be happy if you can wish my husband happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. What's your husband's name?
His name is Mr. Richard Yobana.
All right. Uh-huh. I even call it with
Yobana.
Swag. Mr. Richard Yobana.
Happy birthday to you. Courtesy of your wife, Lily.
Says
Lily.
Happy birthday. And she's driving around to pick something for the boys.
Okay. About me, I'm from River State.
Yes.
So people like referring me as an Igbo girl.
Okay.
Wow. I'm very fair in complexion.
Okay. Yellow babe.
Yes.
All right. Yellow babe.
They don't like to speak in Igbo for me. I'll be like opening my mouth. I'm not an
Igbo woman.
Lily Mwa. Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'm not an Igbo, I'm from Rivers. You look so much like my sister. You look so much like my auntie.
You hear that all the time, huh? Okay, thank you so much, Lily. For calling.
All right, thank you, Lily. All right, we have to go now.
Yeah, we have to go on a very, very quick break. And when we come back, we can continue the conversation. It's WhatsApp Lagos 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're going to be back.
Okay, later. All right, it's What's Up Lagos, and it's 3 minutes past the hour 11, the second hour on Thursdays. Yes, our lawyer friend always steps in, and I think she is very near. Mm-hmm. She will be stepping into the studio anytime now. So let's mop up what we did on the first hour. We got messages here. We're asking you, have you ever gotten that shock? Yeah, that shock. You thought someone was from this part, and you found out, to your surprise, that they are from another part. All right,
wrong.
We got messages on WhatsApp.
All right, Granny says, I'm a Lagosian, and I speak Pidgin very well. Guy, Pidgin is for everybody
what
now.
What does that mean?
What are you talking about? There is a man in my area. He's always called Alhaji because he speaks Hausa like anything, but he's an Igbo man.
Igbo Alhaji. Love that. All right.
Okay, this one says, I am 71 plus, born and bred in Lagos, family of late Oba Oyeko of Lagos. We are brought up as cosmopolitan children, accommodating others and no discrimination. My elder brother married from Osai family, who rented our house at Ebutemeta, and they have two children. My two daughters married from Igbo and Oguni. So don't mind these boys causing problems. Okay. Love that. My grandma is Yoruba, but she can speak Igbo, Hausa, and Yoruba languages very fluently. Oh yeah, no.
Please read the message.
She told me she learned Igbo language while she was young and living with Igbo neighbors in the compound. She lived in Jos nearly all her life, and that's why she can speak Hausa language. She's now living in the USA. Trust me, Mama, accent must have changed.
So we speak US.
I agree with Feta about Luxu. People think I'm Igbo, but I'm Yoruba. Emmy from Magboro. You see?
Whatever. At least one person agrees with
you. What happened?
Peace too.
How am I supposed to read this one?
Peace too.
Oh, mommy, I don't know. Okay, so this one says, to a large extent, tribes have a certain look. In school currently, and you know we use matric number for attendance, both my lecturer and coursemate always have a shock look whenever they see my real name. Maybe when I'm submitting assignment or project, I'm Igala from Kogi State, but I have this Igbo look and accent, though my grandma was Igbo.
Mm-hmm.
So we can trace it now.
Mm-hmm.
You see why
the accent is not from nowhere.
Mm.
This one, see this one. Friends are saying they can speak Pidgin.
Greenish, leave this place now. Off your phone.
American English.
I
have not started.
You have not started.
All right. We have moved it up. But thank you so much. You can also keep sending those messages if you can.
You can.
And
while we're having the conversation, somebody very special walked in. Looking very yellowish and very, very Americanish.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You know she doesn't look like a Yoruba person. She doesn't actually look.
How do you remember?
She looks like a Ghanaian.
What?
I'm not even lying. She does.
And she's so.
Say fete. Say fete.
Fete.
Chale.
Chale.
Because people actually say I look Igbo.
Igbo.
Yeah. You look Ghanaian.
You stretch. You look Yoruba.
Stretch actually looks like Wazobia. He looks Hausa, Yoruba, Igbo.
Guys, I'm here.
Igala.
I'm here.
So you look Yoruba. He doesn't actually look Yoruba, Yoruba to me. Even more than a Yoruba.
He doesn't look Yoruba to me. It doesn't look like he has a tribe.
Really?
Ah, oh, Father, I thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice you heard, yes, you know.
My name is Olamide Onifade.
That's how you call your name.
And she's a lady lawyer, a lawyer lady.
I did a Berean thing.
A lady lawyer, a lawyer lady.
Let's do Berean throughout.
Throughout the track.
Welcome. We have Olamide Onifade, our lady lawyer, in the studio right now with us. Olamide, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Well done.
You miss her.
Mm-hmm.
Go and meet her on the Morning Crossfire.
Meet her there.
That's where she is.
But you don't start the show without doing the thing.
No,
so.
She's...
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Get ready. Right, so let's go, please. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Okay, so let's give you the bell right now. Ready, set, go.
What's up,
ladies? Yes. Here.
Who
Olamide,
lawyer too.
Don't mind them. Olamide, welcome to the show. So,
thank you.
We stopped somewhere last week. Are you starting something brand new this week?
Yes, I thought we ended.
Okay, so I'm just saying.
And I felt people would be a bit bored with
weird
talking thing. About.
No, I don't think actually it's quite interesting.
So we're changing gears today. So what are we talking about?
We'll always come back to. There's still a lot to talk about.
Okay.
Letters of administration, administrators, their powers. The powers of the beneficiaries, what to do when your estate is being mismanaged. Mm-hmm. There are quite a number of things. But I just thought we should
segue. Okay.
So let's go
beautiful.
Through
things
welcome
today.
To the show. So
thank
let's
you
go
very
ahead.
Much. So right. We're going to be talking about property.
Property.
Of plan buying.
Property of plan.
No.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking property today.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about off-plan buying.
Off-plan buying.
Do you know what that means?
I've never heard that
that's
in my
you
life.
On the show.
Do you know that what that means, Veta? Oh.
Not quite.
Okay. Off-plan buying simply means buying a property that you have not seen, that doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist or that you have not
are
seen.
Are we talking about metaverse, please?
No. Okay, simply, it means buying a property that is still, in most cases, still on paper.
Okay, so you've not gone to inspect.
No. It's actually still
like
at the construction
stage
or pre-construction stage.
Okay.
So there are quite a number of developers that have this, they have the plan, they've done all the, you know, they know what they want, four bedroom, these, that, but they have not moved to site.
Okay.
So people buy from them. So
and
that's
it is,
what...
It is legal?
Very legal.
Okay.
It's very legal. In fact, it's one of the best... I think it's one of the easiest route to property acquisition. It makes it easy for people to be able to join the property ladder. Okay. However, it has its benefits, but it has a lot of, I won't say disadvantages, but you have to take a lot of caution and you have to tread carefully. So a lot, so I'm surprised you don't know a lot of...
No, I know. I just wanted to find out if you know yourself.
That's a serious stretch. Okay, so it's the end thing now.
Okay.
All over the world. So it's a means for developers to increase their cash flow during construction. And on the part of the buyer, it's the easiest way to join the property ladder because the entry barrier is always lower than when
it is finished.
Yes.
Okay.
Because first, you are going to be... you're going to be discounted in most cases
for the risk
you're taking.
Okay.
And for the fact that you have not seen what you're buying, first. And the second part, that you can't take possession immediately.
Okay.
Sometimes this construction can go in for 2-3 years. It depends on the number of years. Sometimes it could be 8 months, sometimes 1.5 years. It depends on you, what they're trying... the contract, the agreement you have with the developer.
Mm.
So what are the benefits? I've mentioned one. In most cases, you buy it at a discounted price. So say, for instance, it's you're buying a one unit of terrace for about $100 million. Developers use that as a means to attract people, to lure people to buy into the project. First, for their own prestige and to show other people, other potential buyers, that people are already keying into you. You know, we, human beings are like that.
Herd effect. So when someone's already there, I have to.
It's easier for you to. So they pay you, they discount it for you because you are now coming to take the risk. So you have reduced payment. Now, when as a buyer, you invest into it, probably the construction starts in 2023 to be completed in 2025.
Sorry.
Excuse me. Yeah, excuse me. To be completed in 2025. And as at that time, the property was sold to you for $100 million.
Okay.
And you key into it. There are chances that by the time it's now ready in 2025,
it'll be worth more than that.
Thank you.
Okay.
So you are getting it at a discount. Probably was being sold for $100 million, but the developer sold it to you for $80 million just to lure you in.
Okay.
So you have saved $20 million at the point of purchase.
Purchase.
When the property now becomes gets to the finishing stage and it's now handover, in 2 years, of course, we know what happens to property. It could have gotten to about 120.
Okay.
So if you're to sell, if you don't have an intention of living there, probably it's for investment. If you are to sell to the end, to the person who's not going to come and buy from the secondary, you are now the secondary. So it's now going to be a secondary sale.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll be selling for 120.
Which
so
is like
you've made a sale of about 40 million.
40 million.
Okay.
So it looks very lucrative. It's a lot of people do it. But it has a lot of risks involved. So what are the risks involved? Sometimes the developer might go insolvent.
Hmm.
He might not be able to deliver because of cash crunch.
Many people, I mean, they could have projected that other people would have come
on
and they did
not. Or probably was also relying on maybe bank loan or something. Or he might just even fall into the hands of an unscrupulous
element.
Developer.
Okay.
Because everybody, the entry barrier into the real estate development is very, very low. It's almost like anybody can wake up tomorrow and become a developer. So you might fall into the hands of an unscrupulous developer. Second, delays. There can be delays. So in, say for instance, you project as a developer that probably give or take you finish in 2 years. Unfortunately, because of cash crunch.
Cash crunch, the works.
A lot of unseen circumstances. Sometimes it could get on to like 4 years. So your money is tied in into a project for about 4 years and you have not even seen it.
You can't take it back.
Yeah. Then in most cases, you might not get what you paid for.
Okay, what I ordered versus what I received.
Oh, really?
A lot of people buy based on the CGI. That's computer-generated
image.
Like a 3D.
Yeah, like a 3D. And it's always very beautiful.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just see it and they just jump on it. They don't ask questions. They just believe that that is going to be the outcome. But in most cases, it might not. The CGIs, those 3D images, are just to whip up your sentiments, your emotions.
Attract you.
Yes. So it's not you don't, if you're an investor or a buyer, you don't necessarily have to rely on those images.
Okay.
Without doing a lot of due diligence. So that's I'm coming in. Oh, okay. That's where I'm coming
in. All right.
So I'm just laying the foundation.
Okay.
Then, part of the benefits that I didn't mention is, some people don't want to go through the hassle of buying a land, building, and all of that. It takes a long amount of time. It takes a lot of skill and all of that. So a lot of people might not want to be interested. They don't want to go through the hassle. So if you are buying into an off-plan, it gives you the control that you would have exercised if you're building your own property.
Mm-hmm. It removes the hassles.
It removes the hassles, but you still have control. And I'll tell you how. So take, for instance, is that a pre-construction stage? You buy into it. Number one, it gives you the benefit of picking the best lot.
Oh, okay.
Say, for instance, there are about four terraces. Because you are probably one of the first buyers. You choose the best. Then it also gives you control because you can tell the developer what you want.
Sorry to interject. Now, you're saying that you can choose upon completion or before.
before the pre, most of it is always at the pre-construction stage. That is why it's called off plan. Off plan means off. You've not even moved to site.
Okay.
You're just buying
what you're just seeing from the picture.
From the picture, you're buying a picture. So it gives you a bit of leverage because you can now tweak the design to what you want. So you can tell the developer, okay, I want a glass kitchen instead of probably a door. Mm. I want the rooms. They can tweak it for you because you are there at that stage. Mm. So you are not building your property, but you still have a leverage of controlling how it's going to turn out because you are there from the word go. So, and how is money paid? In most cases, you pay mileage. So probably you're supposed to pay 100 million for a four-bedroom terrace in a good GRA. You probably at the inception stage, you're required to pay probably 30%. Mm. So that is 30 million. Then probably in another 3 months, another milestone covered, you pay another 30 million. Then at the completion stage, you pay another 40 million. So it gives you time to pay over time rather than when it is completed and you have to give the entire
money.
So it has a lot of advantages, no doubt. And I'll tell anyone who wants to go into, if you're thinking about it, I would advise you to do. However, you have to take caution, extreme caution. So how do you take caution?
That was what
the
I was about to ask.
The first thing is the developer. The developer is knowing the history.
Integrity check.
Oh my goodness. You must do a lot of checks. It's called know your developer. Who is the developer? What is his track record?
Allow me, sorry to cut
you. What has it done before?
But this is not done by the person who wants to, because I'm thinking, where does the lawyer or the solicitor come in? This is where you come in, right?
Thank you. In most cases.
Okay.
A lot of people don't usually involve a lawyer. And I won't say a lawyer alone. I would recommend a lawyer and an engineer. Your own private engineer. So what happened to... Okay, I'll get to that. But you must get your engineer and a lawyer by your side. Mm. You need both of them by your side. So you ask questions. You do a lot of research into the company, what they've done before, the track record. You're going to look at what they have done before. What they offered against
what they delivered.
What they delivered. And even the integrity of the structure of what they have done before. A lot of people just build houses below standard, substandard houses. You move into a new house, plumbing mat works and all of that. POP coming down and all of that. So you need to do all of that. You need to do such...
Those checks.
Then the financials. The financial standing of the developer is very important because it can go insolvent anytime. So you need to look at the company you are dealing with. How many projects have they done? Then have they been able to deliver at the projected time? Were they able? Because it's not only if they're able to deliver. What is always the time frame? Would they promise 2 years and they deliver in 5 years? It's still a problem. Regardless of the fact that they deliver, they don't deliver within time, the kind of materials that they use. So that is where your engineer will come in. You need to look at the approvals. It's very important.
Hmm.
Some of them will go to site, they don't have approval. You commit your money into it, and they never get approvals. So, or the government comes in, locks it up.
So let me play the advocate here.
Yes,
I want to cut out these things I'm getting a lawyer and engineer for. Why don't I just build my own? If I'm getting a lawyer to check integrity, check solvency, check... And I mean, the engineer to check
that's
what
they've
done
earlier
before.
That not everybody has the patience.
I know. So for me to go into this, and this is supposed to be, it's supposed to be easier for me.
It's easier
to get a lawyer and engineer.
It's not easier building.
No, I'm saying.
It's not even an. So, it's not an option. It's not an easier option.
So I'm saying now. So if I can go through these processes of getting, do you know what this is to check? Check someone's forensically, check his record forensically, what they've done.
I do it on behalf of
The engineer.
That is why the engineer will go on site, look at their plan. the mechanical plan.
And check what you've delivered in the past in case they have something in Abuja.
Yeah. The credibility of their...
It's a lot of... But compared to what the person might lose...
Of course.
It's a lot of work anyway.
Yes. Okay. In most cases. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's a lot of work, but if you're committing $100 million into a project, so spending another $5 million, do you think...
True.
That is
I agree
problem?
With you.
So in most cases, you must use a professional. In most cases. Some people don't, but advise that you use one because they are more... That's
detailed.
Yes, and that's what they do. So you look at the approvals. Some of them don't have approvals. They move to site, and before you know it, the government comes in and locks it up.
Your money is gone.
Not gone, but it will delays, and it might never even pick up. It might just be the end of the project.
In that case, you get your money back.
I'm coming to that.
Okay, because...
Okay, so then you also check... what's it called? Their team. Who are the engineers? Who are the structure?
You're telling
me that has not entered this theory.
I'm going to check. Who is the engineer married to? Where do their children go to school?
Professional competent. You're going to be checking their... That's why I said you must have your engineer by your side. So the engineer goes in to check, okay, they've done this, they've done that. I know them, this architecture
firm,
I've done this and this. I know who owns. You know, it's a small community. You'll be shocked.
Sure. Who knows who?
Everybody knows in that business in most cases, you know. And reputation always goes before. You'll be shocked. Sure. Yes. So you check all of that. Then you don't just assume that because the CGI says, the 3D says, this is the dimension and all of that.
Yeah.
Don't totally rely on that.
So how do you check that?
Your engineer.
Before that. Construction.
Yes. So now, when all of this, you have to be sure, you have to ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
what are the dimensions? How many bedroom? Where's the master bedroom going to be? Where's the kitchen going to be? What are the appliances that are going to come with the kitchen?
Okay.
What kind of towels are you going to use? What kind of this and that are you going to use? Because all these questions must now be incorporated into the sales agreement. So that's where your lawyer comes in.
So we got about a minute or so to go on a break now. So I'm saying that before a building is started, before I commit my money.
Yes.
And I'm trying to find out what kind of tiles. They've not bought anything.
They have to give you specifications.
Okay, what if they default on what they give
you? I'm going to that. That's why you have to factor it into the sales agreement.
Okay, that they will not default on what they've
said.
That
is why you have to go with your lawyer. Most of the time, the developers are the ones that develop. Okay, I'll just wait till after the...
Oh, yeah. So, it's WhatsApp Lagos 99.3 Nigeria Info. Olamide Onifade is our lady lawyer and she's in the studio. We are talking buying off the plan. There are risks, there are rewards. And of course, if it's new to you, trust me, it's new to me. But there's so much to learn. We'll come back after the break and we will continue that conversation. Stay tuned.
All right, it's WhatsApp Lagos.
WhatsApp!
The part where you get your notepad and your pen
and then
to write stuff down. Yes.
So you
because
can take things away.
Olamide Onifade is in the house and we finished the first module. And after that commercial break, we're back for the second module. And she'll be talking a bit before we go to the phone lines. And she spoke quite a bit, on...
off-plan purchase.
No, I know, off-plan purchase. Yeah. So what I'm asking now is that off-plan purchase, can it be... Is there any people that do off-plan purchases, right? Mostly that set up these 3D diagrams and all. You said something earlier now about you checking the integrity of that. Now, we were talking about that before we went off them. How do you get to check? How do you get to let them stick to their word?
Your sales agreement.
So, are there consequences for not sticking to their word?
It's a contract. Right? Mm-hmm. And the way the law is, whatever you put yourself up to is what the law is not the Father Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give you what you didn't ask for.
Okay.
So you have to be very, very sure that in your sales agreement, it caters for things that are very, very
fundamental to you.
Okay.
So if they're coming to say this is the dimension of the living room, you must ensure that it's in the sales agreement. If they say they're going to use this type of towels, it has to be catered for. If they tell you the what's it called, the block size is going to be something cm, it has to be catered for. So that's the role of your lawyer and your engineer, to ensure that all what has been promised will be delivered.
Okay.
And so you have to make your sales agreement very tight. Now, a lot of developers are the ones that produce this sales agreement. And in most cases, you know what, sometimes my clients would have committed, they would have paid. Then will come to me to say, oh, I just invested in this purchase. I've paid 50%. Can you please come and see the agreement? And I'm like, what do I do at this stage? Your money is already with the developer. With all the due diligence and all the stuff I'm supposed to have done, we've bypassed that. Now, even when I go into the sales agreement and I read it and I see some things that are detrimental to my client, what do I do? Most of the time, I'll fight it and all of that. But in most cases, I might just be able to achieve probably 40 or 50% of what I really want to be changed. Because the money is already with him. So he's already king at that time. Your money is already deposited with him. So I always preach that before you commit into it, and you know the gimmicks of these developers.
Yeah.
What they do is they tell you, it's
going, gone. Yes.
So they give you absolutely no time to think about the purchase. You just say, okay, so the property is supposed to go for 40 million naira. But if you pay today, you pay 25 million. They just lock in the money. They now come to me and say, okay, this is the sales agreement. Please, can you check it for me? Some people don't even check. They just sign up whatever. Then after a while, they now see that they've signed some clauses that are detrimental to them.
Okay.
I know a lot of times I have fought a lot of clauses and they're like, no, this is not acceptable. Or sometimes I go and redraft it and I send my own draft to them. Then we now
negotiate.
Okay. Yes, then integrate it together. I won't agree. I won't accept it solely from a developer. No. I have to have a huge impute in it because my client is king.
So your advice is fall for that.
No.
Yeah, going, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Always.
It's a lifetime purchase and it's a lot of money. A lot of money. 25, 30, 40 million naira is a lot of money to play with.
So what if actually it is going, gone?
Let it gone now. Then it means it's not for you.
You're not clear about the terms and conditions.
Yes,
don't go
except
ahead.
Probably I've worked with a company, with a client that bought about 5 properties from a particular company. And in most cases, I read the sales agreement, but I know them. I know their integrity.
Check.
They've delivered maybe like 4. There are no issues. I walk straight to the MD, we banter, the lawyer, you called the legal advisor, they pick up the phone, you know, the engineers and all of that. So I have a lot of confidence in them.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean I shouldn't do my due diligence for each purchase, but the barrier gets lowered for each time there's a purchase.
Mm. You mentioned something that some of the risk involved in this buying of the plan is that at some point, the development that you're investing in it takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. What if at that point you're no longer interested? Can you get your money back? Or if anything goes wrong at all, do you at least get your money back? Is there any point in time that happens or comes up?
In any investment in life, there are always risks involved. And so this is one of it. High risk and highly rewarding. Now, of course, in your sales agreements, you cater for a lot of eaves and
whatnot.
Yes. So, and of course, you don't breach the agreement. And you don't expect the developer to breach the agreement.
Okay.
However, in case there's a breach, it's either you mediate, you probably submit to arbitration, which is faster, or you go for litigation, which in those cases, I wouldn't
advise
because of the length of time. Mm. So that is why I would not. I don't even want my client to go through
in that situation.
So that's why that due diligence is always, it doesn't totally eradicate the risk, but it reduces it substantially.
Mm.
So as an investor, as a purchaser, I wouldn't say don't invest in it. Just take extra caution.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're saying that in percentage, it happens. The percentage of something like that happening is very low.
If you do your due diligence,
yes,
you're working with a highly reputable developer. Mm. You checked their financials. Mm. You know they're in good standing.
Mm.
You checked the caliber of the team that he has put together. You speak to people that they've delivered. They're living in their houses. You know, I think it's highly.
It reduces all of
that. I'm not saying that he cannot mess up on that project.
Mm. So wait, what happens when he does?
That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
That then you have to resort to the courts. Okay. Or the arbitration. So in most cases, maybe arbitration, but I would say maybe in most, if you do your due diligence, it might not happen.
Stress or breathing like that.
I'm breathing because I'm seeing my money. I'm seeing my money now in someone's hand. And
but a lot of people invest in it, and a lot of projects going on in Lagos most times are bought off plan.
Yeah, actually.
Yes.
That's a new normal.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm just saying that because everyone is buying, you
might want to jump on that soon. No.
So I'm just talking about the pain point and what you should do to mitigate the risks.
Yeah, because some developers will just want to go give you carcass, build up anything that looks like what they've shown you on 3D,
mm-hmm.
and want to just get your money and go.
Because some developers, I've seen a situation where a client, when they delivered her property to her, she marched straight to the developer and said, no, this was not what I was anticipating.
Hmm.
I thought my living room was going to be bigger than this. I thought my kitchen was going to be bigger than this. And the developer said, where did I state that in the agreement? Because she didn't read her agreement. She was only relying on the 3D. So even for the facade, there have to be an agreement that this is what you're going to get realistically. We need to sit down and discuss all of that before you commit.
I think it's just what I'm taking from this is attention to detail.
Attention to detail
before you. And I think this runs through everything you do in life. But in this case, you're about to buy property for life,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have.
You don't want to mess it up, make mistakes.
It's probably the biggest purchase or the biggest expenditure that you're ever going to make in your life, buying property.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. So, all right. One last question.
So, you said that as an investor, as a lawyer, most times when people come to you with this kind of, proposals, you don't usually, clamp down. You don't say don't do it. You just make sure that you do.
Why would I say don't do it?
But no? If you were to actually advise,
yes,
would you say that which is better, buying off the plan or buying when it's completed, that you can see what you're buying and then purchase straight
up? If you have the capacity to taking risk, if you're a high risk taker, go for off plan any day.
Because it's cheaper. The advantages are really huge. Yes. What you mentioned here.
So it has its pain point and it has its benefits. So if you're ready to take
risk,
ensure that you mitigate it.
And also the mitigation is probably you putting those things you don't want to happen in the agreement.
Having a lawyer.
Having an engineer to check through.
Yes.
All right, so we're asking you to call in if you have anything to add to or say to this. Maybe you're planning to go buy stuff. Maybe you've crossed the line already. You didn't even ask for an agreement. Maybe you're about to have that meeting this afternoon. Maybe the election postponements will make you go and inspect something on Saturday.
Mm.
We don't know. If you want to talk about this, off plan purchase.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get on the phone lines with us. 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. And if you're a female, 01465-7190. 01465-7190. We have a message already on WhatsApp.
Yes. AY Day from Ikeja says, I like stretch, man. Make a radio feel like home. And then he says, off-plan property is good. I've done this too. The delivery was extremely delayed, but it was delivered. I'm a legal practitioner, and I would have sued the developer, but I had purchased property for clients from him before, and I believe he cannot jackpot. That's what he said.
All right. That's
so basically,
part of what he's saying is the integrity of the developer.
This person.
So that's why I said ultimately it will be delivered, but delays.
Huh?
So you have to cater for that sometimes.
And what I'm also taking from this is, you mentioned something about being a high risk taker. Mm-hmm. If you're not, if your chest can easily pay you like stretch, that's breathing 80 times in
just
1 minute.
Just go for what you can see.
I'll go to the house, enter the house. Is this your house? Say yes. I'll punch the wall. Yes, now I'll check the tile. Port
and but of course, that would be a topic for another day. Of course, when you're buying a property, you have to do a lot of due diligence anyway.
Okay, that's when you're buying the...
Yes, but of course, you're seeing what you're buying.
And so, that's imagine now, she's saying due diligence when I'm buying what I'm seeing. Imagine when I don't even see anything.
I just mentioned that you're not a high-risk taker. Your check is already...
It's not about high-risk taking.
See, for every time that you say a sentence, he's already imagining 100 million. Like,
okay, remember...
This can be me.
Remember, okay, so this is one of... If you remember... this Ikoyi incident that happened.
Yeah, the house that came
that
down.
Collapsed.
Most people that bought into that property bought off plan.
Oh, okay.
And they bought in thousands of dollars down the drain.
So that's...
So, of course, maybe they have respite by suing the estate of the developer.
Okay, let me also ask...
If it's sold to them in private capacity, right?
Mm.
But how much...
So
let me.
I know this is not your turf per se.
Okay.
Can this be insured?
It's part of my terrain. It should be.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, in Lagos, I can't remember the number of floors, but if you go above a certain number of floors, you must insure the property. So I think that skipped my mind.
Okay.
In most cases, you ask the developer if he has any insurance. Like in a case it goes insolvent or something happens, an act of God happens, and probably earthquake and all of that. What happened to your money?
Okay, so this can be... Because I'm checking everywhere something can happen from, you know.
So in most cases, you can
everywhere.
Even ask for a bank guarantee from a developer if you can produce one.
Okay.
How does that go?
I'm not the banker, but I know that they can bring the bank.
Keeps your money.
The bank would guarantee your money.
Okay, so let me also ask this. When you see this thing you want to buy,
yes,
the 3D is drawn and is well, you go there, you tell them you're specific, you talk about, you sign an agreement that is awesome and good. You mentioned the courts. When this person blatantly defaults,
yes,
the time wrong. It delivers like 2 years after. It's supposed to deliver. Your money has been hanging. Then it delivers. You go there. It is not specifically, maybe not totally bad. And maybe instead of 42 square, you have 40 square. Yeah? Whatever it is. It's not exactly not what you want, but just different.
A little, yeah.
A little different. And you've waited more than you're supposed to. And you're about to move in. What do you do to such a person?
Okay, what I would advise my client to do is you take possession of the property.
First of all.
Because in any land, in any property transaction, for any reason, possession is key. You don't fight from outside.
Okay.
So you don't fight from outside. So what I will do in that situation is, of course, I will take possession first. Then I'll take him to court. I can be in court forever.
But you're already
I've already
with
taken the
small
benefit
room.
Of my... Yes. Mm. So then I'll now be suing him for damages and all of that.
Yeah. All right. Info.
Yeah. So I've got this information for you. I want you to know that if you wish to be a commercial manager for a company or you wish to earn well on a weekly and monthly basis, Kirby Nigeria is a multinational company and they are offering you an opportunity to be part of their managers across Nigeria with earnings over 500,000 naira. All you have to do is note that a car is needed for this role. Then after that, call these numbers 0815-705-0505. That is 0815-705-0505, or you can call 0905-637-4258. That is 0905-637-4258. Thank you.
All right, that's where it's good to have someone who does the teaching. Well, I've learned quite a lot, Lamidi. And yes, I can invest 80 million now. 80 million.
It could be 8 million.
And I won't look back. Oh, 8 million too, right? Mm-hmm. Lamidi, we have to go. Thank you so much for coming along. And we look forward to having you here next Thursday. Yeah? And we don't do anything legal on the show anyway. But hey, so let's have your hand out.
Okay. On Instagram, I'm Olamide_lady_lawyer.
on Twitter and LinkedIn, I'm Olamide
Unifade. Beautiful.
Thank you, Olamide. Stretch Cool on Instagram, Stretch Original. All right. And you
I'm Feta Dynamo on Instagram and D_Feta on Twitter.
All right. Follow Nigeria Info on all socials and go on YouTube. You can watch this again. Bye-bye. Take care.